Hello and welcome to episode 810 of the Our Lady of Fatima podcast. It is my pleasure to be with you this morning. My name is Terrence M. Stanton. We're recording on Wednesday, February 21st, 2024, in the year of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us begin with St. Alphonsus Liguori's Wednesday prayer to the Most Blessed Virgin Mary to obtain deliverance from hell. My most beloved Lady, I thank thee for having delivered me from hell as many times as I have deserved it by my sins, miserable creature that I was. I was once condemned to that prison, and perhaps already after the first sin. The sentence would have been put into execution if thou, in thy compassion, hadst not helped me. Thou, without even being asked by me, and only in thy goodness, didst restrain divine justice, and then, conquering my obduracy, thou didst draw me to have confidence in thee. Oh, and to how many other sins should I have afterwards fallen? In the dangers in which I have been, hadst not thou, my loving mother, preserved me by the graces which thou didst obtain for me? Ah, my queen, continue to guard me from hell. For what will thy mercy and the favors which thou hast shown me avail me if I am lost? If I did not always love thee, now at least, after God, I love thee above all things. Never allow me to turn my back on thee and on God, who by thy means has granted me so many graces. My most amiable Lady, never allow me to have the misfortune to hate thee and curse thee for all eternity in hell. Wilt thou endure to see a servant of thine who loves thee lost? O Mary, what sayest thou? I shall be lost if I abandon thee, but who can evermore have the heart to leave thee? How can I ever forget the love thou hast borne me? My Lady, since thou hast done so much to save me, complete the work, continue thy aid. Wilt thou help me? But what do I say? If at a time when I live forgetful of thee, thou didst favor me so much, how much more may I not hope for now that I love thee and recommend myself to thee? No, he can never be lost who recommends himself to thee. He alone is lost who has not recourse to thee. Ah, my mother, leave me not in my own hands, for I should then be lost. Grant that I may always have recourse to thee. Save me, my hope, save me from hell. But in the first place, save me from sin, which alone can condemn me to it. Today, friends, we return to Meditations for Lent, which was initially published by Sheed and Ward in 1937 and is available for free online via fisheaters.com, the excellent traditional Catholic website. This is the reading meditation for First Wednesday in Lent. How great was the sorrow of our Lord in his passion is the subheading. And St. Thomas Aquinas begins with a verse from Lamentations 1, verse 12, which says, "Attend and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow." Our Lord, as he suffered, felt really in his senses that pain which is caused by some harmful bodily thing. He also felt that interior pain, which is caused by the fear of something harmful and which we call sadness. In both these respects, the pain suffered by our Lord was the greatest pain possible in this present life. There are four reasons why this was so. Number one, the causes of the pain. The cause of the pain in the senses was the breaking up of the body, a pain whose bitterness derived partly from the fact that the sufferings attacked every part of his body, and partly from the fact that of all species of torture, death by crucifixion is undoubtedly the most bitter. The nails are driven through the most sensitive of all places, the hands and the feet, the weight of the body itself increases the pain every moment. Add to this the long drawn-out agony, for the crucified do not die immediately, as do those who are beheaded. The cause of the internal pain was, number one, all the sins of all mankind, for which by suffering he was making satisfaction, so that in a sense he took them to him as though they were his own. The words of my sins, it says in the Psalms, Psalm 21:2. So we can pause for a moment here. The weight of every sin ever committed, up to that point or that ever would be committed in time until the end of time when he comes to judge the living and the dead. Think well on that, friends. I need to think well on that, first and foremost. Every sin we commit is wounding the body of Christ. On the other side, every virtuous thing that we do is building up the body of Christ. And at the end of our lives, when we are judged, and at the end of time, when the Lord comes again in his second coming to judge the living and the dead, we will see the consequences of every sin that anyone and everyone has ever committed, and the good that all people have done from the beginning of time to the end, the fruits that that bore, and also how the Lord took even the evil that we do, how he brought good from that. Does that mean it's good, it's okay that we commit sins? No, of course. It's insane to sin. But God shows his omnipotence and his omniscience, the fact that he is all-powerful and all-knowing, that he takes even these things, the wicked things that we do, and he takes that into account and can turn that even into good. And of course, the example par excellence is what St. Thomas is talking about right now, his own crucifixion, the pain in his hands and his feet, his whole body. He had been scourged and spit on and crowned with thorns, everything else, all these horrific things. Deicide, putting the second person of the Most Holy Trinity to death. He draws the greatest possible good from that. The fact that we have the opportunity by his grace alone to get to heaven if we repent and believe in the gospel and die in a state of grace. Two, the special case of the Jews and the others who had a share in the sin of his death, and especially the case of his disciples for whom his death had been a thing to be ashamed of. So friends, when we think about the Jewish people, God's chosen people, what were they called to? They were called to recognize the Messiah and accept him. Now, none of us knows on an individual case, none of us knows on an individual case of anyone, you know, the culpability of one's sins or extenuating circumstances, which excuses sinful behavior that's known to God alone. But we can judge one's actions as being good or evil. We're going to be judged at the end of our life on the basis of what we did and what we failed to do. The Jewish people were called to recognize the Messiah and accept him. Some did. Some did not. Some shouted for him to be crucified. To be a completed Jew is to become Catholic, because Jesus fulfills everything that was promised in the Old Testament to the letter. And many Jews, when they discover that, and their hearts are moved by the Lord to study the sacred scriptures, they accept that. So let's continue to pray for the conversion of the Jews, because towards the end of time, just prior to the end of time, we know, it's a matter of Catholic teaching, that the Antichrist will be a Jew. There will be a false prophet who will imitate St. John the Baptist. And there will be a false Messiah. That's the Antichrist. He will be destroyed ultimately by our Lord. But he will wreak havoc on the earth before that happens. That's why this is so important, recognizing who the Messiah is. The real Messiah, the true Messiah, walked the dusty streets of Palestine 2,000 years ago. His name is Jesus Christ. We all need to accept him. Jews need to convert. Muslims need to convert. Buddhists need to convert. Hindus need to convert. Protestants need to convert. Orthodox need to convert because the Protestants are holding fast to a heresy. The Orthodox are in schism. Catholics need to convert. The man speaking into this microphone needs to convert. Conversion is an ongoing process. 3. The loss of his bodily life, which, by the nature of things, is something from which human nature turns away in horror. Exactly. You know, rushing into dying, especially such a humiliating and torturous death, which the Lord was to undergo, that's not something that we want to be a part of. But Jesus does it. Jesus goes through it for you and for me and for everyone who has ever lived and will ever live. 2, we may consider the greatness of the pain according to the capacity, bodily and spiritual, for suffering of him who suffered. In his body he was most admirably formed, for it was formed by the miraculous operation of the Holy Ghost, and therefore its sense of touch. That sense through which he experienced pain was of the keenest. His soul likewise, from its interior powers, had a knowledge as from experience of all the causes of sorrow. So our Lord is feeling this, what he's going through, most intimately. You know, all his senses are the keenest: touch, taste, smell, everything. 3, the greatness of our Lord's suffering can be considered in regard to this, that the pain and sadness were without any alleviation. For in the case of no matter what other sufferer, the sadness of mind, and even the bodily pain, is lessened through a certain kind of reasoning, by means of which there is brought about a distraction of the sorrow from the highest powers to the lower. But when our Lord suffered, this did not happen, for he allowed each of his powers to act and suffer to the fullness of his special capacity. In other words, he's God. You know, he could have spared himself some suffering. He spared himself nothing. As a matter of fact, he had what he suffered accentuated to the full. He bore the full weight of sin. Not any sin that he committed. He's perfect. There's no sin in the Lord. He's like us in all things but sin. He is the perfect man. He is the God-man. He is the truth incarnate, God himself, the second person of the Most Holy Trinity. But he suffered for our sins to the hilt. And 4, St. Thomas says, we may consider the greatness of the suffering of Christ in the Passion in relation to this fact, that the Passion and the pain it brought with it were deliberately undertaken by Christ with the object of freeing man from sin. And therefore he undertook to suffer an amount of pain proportionately equal to the extent of the fruit that was to follow from the Passion. From all these causes, if we consider them together, it will be evident that the pain suffered by Christ was the greatest pain ever suffered. And so ends the meditation. So that makes sense, right, friends? He suffered the most pain possible to suffer to give us the greatest gift, the most beautiful, wonderful, pleasurable gift possible: heaven, to those who repent and believe in the gospel and die in the state of grace. We hear the old adage, Good Friday comes before Easter Sunday, before the joy, before the miraculous resurrection of Easter Sunday, and the opportunity for all of us to see God face to face in the beatific vision which the Lord won for us. he has to go through Good Friday, the suffering and the pain and the torture, unlike no one has ever experienced or ever will, to show that he is God and to show us the way to heaven isn't marked by roses, but by thorns. And he wore that crown of thorns for us and suffered everything he suffered for us. So, of course, we can never be grateful enough for what our Lord went through. And this should not leave us feeling guilty. Ultimately, this should make us feel joyful and have great confidence in the Lord that he thinks enough of us to go through this for us and to give us the opportunity to be in perpetual bliss with him and the Blessed Mother and Saint Joseph and all of the angels and saints in heaven if we are willing to take up our cross every day and follow him, and he helps us carry it. We need only ask him. Want to conclude, friends, by once again mentioning Helping Autism Through Learning and Outreach, available on the web at halo-soma.org. That's halo-soma.org. Also, please tune into episodes 277 and 548, episodes 277 and 548 of the Our Lady of Fatima podcast for more information pertaining to RPM. That's an acronym for Rapid Prompting Method, a system of communication. The website also pertains to that. Before, my niece was about 8 years old. We didn't even know her favorite color. Now we know she's a comprehensive genius who can compose music. She's a poet, very skilled in regards to mathematics. She knows foreign languages. She has so many talents and abilities. We knew none of those things before RPM. Her hard work, her family's hard work, God's grace, of course, bringing everything together. How many more people like her are out there? I don't know. The good Lord only knows. That's why we need to help these people. So please get that information out there. Communication is a human right. Imagine how sad and frustrated you would be if you were unable to communicate your favorite color, what you wanted for breakfast, what your favorite sports teams are. Just have regular, normal conversations with your friends and family. If they had to guess as to what all your wants and needs were, no one should be in that situation. RPM has been as big of a breakthrough in terms of being able to communicate as sign language was for the deaf. Or you can look at being able to read and Braille filling that void for the blind. It's that massive, but you can't use a tool unless you know about it. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Our Lady of Fatima podcast. Please tune in again tomorrow. Say an Ave Maria for yours truly, and I would greatly appreciate it. Goodbye, and God love you.